The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be faithful to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as snowplows parade around our beloved home, the roads have narrowed more and more, leaving mountains of snow where grass used to be. I'm from Western Washington State, so this is all very new for me. Now, no one is more aware of this increasingly depressing pattern than our dog, Sabina. What used to be a somewhat pleasant walk to that perfect patch of grass for her biological needs has turned into 4 daily frostbitten excursions through the Himalayas of West Hartford. We could all use a fresh start, a clean slate of all this snow, for all the snow and the ice to just be wiped away. Or carried out in trucks, as it were. A new beginning. In Genesis, God, that's a smooth transition, right? In Genesis, God has only made it halfway through chapter 9 before seeing a need to have a clean slate, to destroy everything. In creation, violence ensues. Celestial sons of God impregnate human women. Animals turn from their vegetarian ways and develop a taste for their human stewards. Earth is messed up, so God seeks to make it right. And now, finding Noah to be righteous, you know the story, not the movie version, only part of that, but God commands Noah to gather 2 of each animal, excluding velociraptors, to call a family reunion and to build a big boat to float out this whopper of a storm. So Noah does as is requested, and God destroys everyone and everything that was not on the ark. After the flood, God has some regrets. Mayhaps destroying the world only a few chapters into its existence was a bit overkill. So God begins what we hope is not merely a New Year's resolution or a Lenten practice, but rather an everlasting covenant, as God expressly and repeatedly states. "As for me," God says, "I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So, no more floods. Well, no more major earth-destroying floods. And yet you've got to imagine Noah kept the ark around, just in case. And now, to remember this covenant, God hangs up his bow of vengeance in the clouds. God retires from violent retribution and makes the bow a reminder and makes it super colorful, right? In order to always remember not to destroy everything. Now, while this story is more of an illustration than an actual account of historical events, is anyone else worried that God would need an optical phenomenon to remember not to devastate the world? The rainbow serves in this story as God's reminder, it says, and yet the rainbow really serves a purpose for readers and listeners of this story, past and present, to declare that God changed and grew in understanding. Now, in and of itself, this is a remarkable thing, but more than this, the rainbow reminds us that if God was ever about violent power plays over a disobedient creation, God no longer works that way. God no longer works that way, despite that creation remains violent. Need we mention current military struggles and the violent commentary about those military struggles and about just about everything else? Need we mention our nation's disproportionate inability to wrap our minds and our policies around our epidemic of gun violence, which injured two friends of the Hartford Catholic Worker just about a week ago? Creation remains violent and disobedient to God's commands regarding the stewardship of creation. The global temperature increases, and the waters rise as we sluggishly realize the effect that we are having on the planet. Creation remains violent and disobedient, dispassionately repeating from just a few chapters earlier in Genesis Cain's rhetorical question about his brother Abel: am I my brother's keeper? In essence, God's response to this question over and over again is a resounding yes. From the beginning of time, we were designed to be each other's keepers, to care for each other and for all of creation. And time again, we struggle to remain devoted to this task. And although we seek power before love and certainty before faith, God seeks us in relationship again and again and again. And God seeks us often with a grieving heart. We make a dreadful error if we generalize and relegate this God in Genesis as merely violent and angry. No, the God who covenants with Noah is deeply and profoundly sorrowed. And despite the fact that creation continues on in violence and disobedience after this promise where God bears all, where God becomes vulnerable, God becomes tied to our continuation quite intimately. And this is a divine choice and commitment made at the point of a new beginning. God's vulnerability is perhaps most remarkable in Jesus on the cross. But even earlier in Jesus' life, as Jesus is driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, maybe in a Honda Accord. Sorry, I had to include that. Driven into the Spirit for those 40 days. And in the wilderness, Jesus experiences vulnerability and faces the wild beasts, as well as the angels who will wait on him. At the beginning of his earthly ministry, Jesus makes a commitment. His situation in the wilderness during the 40 days and beyond is ambiguous with both danger and promise, just as God's situation in the wilderness of God's relationship with us is ambiguous with danger and promise. We too experience ambiguity in our own lives and our beliefs. Will I save enough to send my kids to college? Will I get into college? Can I trust him? Can I trust her? Does my life have meaning? What is the meaning? At one time or another, we experience ambiguity, and those moments are palpable with danger and promise. Sometimes we find ourselves in a kind of wilderness, and it is in the wilderness where new beginnings are possible. Our God is not merely a God of second chances, but of completely new beginnings. Even in circumstances of great ambiguity, when both danger and promise are distinct possibilities, God seeks us, bearing all in total divine vulnerability, as one lover to another, as a child to a parent. To be in any relationship demands great commitment and greater risk. And so in Lent, we focus our hearts and minds and our bodies on our relationship with God. This may cause us to make the kinds of sacrifices that go well beyond 40 days, but change the ways that we live our very lives. Consider this season of Lent, this very day, a new beginning, an opportunity, palpable with danger and promise. Consider the ways in which each day is a fresh start. And follow Jesus through the wilderness, just beyond that cold ambiguity, all the way to God's glorious promise of resurrection. God joins us in every new beginning. How will we live in light of that promise? Amen.